Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise our vibrations and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you. Welcome back to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. Today on the show, I have my one and only, the person that made me a mother, the person that joined me on this journey in this lifetime so far for 17 years, my amazing, wonderful husband, Isaac. Hi, Isaac. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Excellent. So today we are sitting on top of a rock in the Rio Grande National Forest, staring down at this beautiful river. It's just windy and marshy, and it's surrounded by red cliffs and evergreen trees. And it very much looks like a spot where if we came earlier or later, we would see a moose. It is peaceful and gorgeous. Such a beautiful place. Nature is so healing, and we have been immersed in it over the last week, and we're going to share a little bit about what that's been like. I wanted to start out today by sharing, or actually, I want to have Isaac share how we met and how we got together.
So, my recollection, my side of the story. So I grew up in a little town called Ottertail, Minnesota, and went to a high school, kindergarten through...
it was a K-12.
Yeah, it was a K-12 school all in one building, very small. And one of my friends was Ben, BJ, and Rachel is Ben's cousin. So Rachel would be around every now and then growing up. And I just remember, like, you want to put memories in, like, because I know you so well now, it's hard to
differentiate,
remember what you were like back then, but I just remember you being around, and I thought you were cute, and you thought I was an asshole.
True story. He was such a dick.
Probably wasn't that big of a deal.
No, he really wasn't. He was just being funny and facetious.
Yes.
But I took it like, oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, that teenage, yeah.
Sure. So I remember you just being around, and then we went our separate ways.
Mm-hmm. For a couple, three, 4 years, I moved to Wyoming and Oregon, and you moved to Arizona.
Yeah.
And then we both kind of made our way back around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was living in St. Cloud, Minnesota at the time. But I was back in Ottertail, where I grew up. Just for a weekend, I think. Must have been.
It was just for a weekend. It was very happenstance because I went up for my uncle's, so the cousin in which I know Isaac through, his dad was turning 50, so they were having this big 50th birthday party for my uncle, and I decided to drive up to just be with them and celebrate, and we found ourselves at this little tiny bar where Isaac actually used to bartend. It was called The Otter, and back in high school, Isaac had like longer hair, kind of like he does now, is just shaped and formed a little differently. And I just remember him as this like long haired, artsy, fartsy kind of guy. And I was a 3-sport athlete. And so we seemed to be a little polar opposite in high school. But then when I ran into him at that bar, I looked down and I was like, there's this guy sitting there, and clean cut, like hair was short, glasses. And I was like, BJ, who is that? And BJ's like, that's Isaac. And I was like, oh. So I found my way over chatting with him, and we chatted for a couple hours, and we had some similar, well, we had both had connections in St. Cloud. Isaac was living there, and a lot of friends that I had at the time were going to college there. So as I told him, like, oh, I have a lot of friends there, he said to me, you should give me your number so next time you're in town, I can call you. Now, if I had half a mind at that time and in that moment, I would have realized, well, how would you know if I'm in town if I give you my number, but I don't get your number? And I didn't ask for your number. I just gave you mine. Yeah. And then a couple of weeks or like a week later or...
I have to back up. So what's crazy is I didn't even want to go to that bar. I was going to a different party with some friends, with a girlfriend of mine, and I think it was just the two of us driving out to a party, mm-hmm. and she wanted to stop at the Otter to see if this guy that she had a crush on was working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we ended up there. I didn't even want to go. I was like, yeah, sure, we can go stop and see if Matt is working.
Yeah, and so...
And not only did I run into you, I ran into one of my old best friends.
Yes,
from high school as
well. That's right.
Really cool.
Yeah, and we spent some time talking with him too. And then like a week later, I got this phone call, and it was Isaac, and he was asking me to go to this party. And this party was at an ex-boyfriend's house, which was a little silly. But I was like, sure. And he came up to, I was living in Brainerd, Minnesota at the time. And he came up and he picked me up and he took me to this party. And literally, I feel like this is what my memory says to me. I'm sure it wasn't all entirely true, but it felt like we landed at this party and he 100% ditched me. Now, I knew a lot of the people there, so it wasn't like I was just sitting in a chair all by myself not knowing anybody. I was able to definitely socialize, and I knew I had a lot of connections, and so that felt fine. But I was like, dude, this guy just asked me to come with him, and then he, like, bails. And then we ended up staying at my cousin's house, and I had to get up super early the next morning. And I had just, like, one of those block Nokia phones, so... It was like my first cell phone, and Isaac had a little bit more advanced phone. So he set an alarm on his phone and it went off in the morning, and I could not figure out for the life of me how to turn the damn thing off. So I was like, Isaac, he's still sleeping. Of course, it's like 5 a.m. And we got back to this place at like 2, like after consuming a little bit of alcohol. And I was like, Isaac, how do you turn your alarm off? And he rolled over and he goes, fucking figure it out. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So I get, you know, back home, and I'm like, God, he ditched me. He yells at me because I don't know how to.
But I drove you back. I drove you to work.
Yeah, you drove me to work, and he sat in my section and had breakfast, and he made some very sweet, kind gestures to kind of make up for it. And I don't know why. I stuck around. And
I don't remember saying that, of course.
Of course.
I do not remember saying that. It's something I would say now.
Oh, totally. Yes. Yeah. With love.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks pass, and it was New Year's Eve. And he calls me, hey, do you want to come down to St. Cloud and hang out with my friends and I for New Year's Eve? And I really didn't have a lot going on, so I was like, sure. And that was kind of the beginning of everything. We started really seeing each other pretty heavily January, February. He would drive up to Brainerd for the weekend and just hang out at my little tiny apartment while I was at work. And then he would leave Monday morning super early to drive all the way down to Iowa. But he did this just to spend time with me. It was so sweet. And I had never really had anybody in my life that would do something like that. So it was really like this beautiful change of pace. And then we flew to Arizona. I bought a pickup truck down in Arizona, and we flew down there together, and we drove it back. And in that journey, we stopped in Amarillo, Texas. And as we were getting into the truck to get on the road again that morning, he said, how about we go to Vegas? Because that was one thing. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to Vegas to get married. Like, I don't want a big wedding. I never dreamed about a big wedding. And so that was kind of his way of proposing to me. And I said, yeah, let's go to Vegas. And then in August, so that was in March. And then we started planning this wedding, and then some things kind of came about with the dates that we chose, so we had to restructure, and we ended up getting married this beautiful rock outcropping on the lake, or the shoreline of Lake Superior. It was
Artist Point,
right out of Grand Marais. It was so beautiful. It was super small. It was just our immediate families, and then a pastor who was a pastor for Isaac's, it was Isaac's parents' friend, basically.
Yeah, the Tornquists were really good family friends.
Yeah, okay. And Rod Tornquist, he was the one that ended up marrying us, and he really guided us through marriage counseling or couples counseling before we even got married, and we talked about a lot of things, and I think that that was a significant benefit to us and our ability to communicate and work with each other. And we learned a lot about each other in those first few months without, you know, prior to being married. And but that was one of his requirements. Like, we had to watch these tapes and we had to go through these workbooks, and it was really, really great. I think I forgot about that, but I think, yeah, I think that that helped us a lot. And then in August, so 5 months after we got engaged, we were married on August 10th. And it has now been, we're going to be coming up on 18 years here in a couple months. So that's a little bit of a background behind how Isaac and I got together. It was one of those things like...
I want to tell the story about... So when I called Rachel, she wanted to go to that party. I was working in Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a, it was a construction job, and we worked like 4:10s or 4:12s, and then we would usually come home Thursday night or Friday morning, typically a Thursday night, I believe. Yep. And so it was like Wednesday night. So Wednesday was our work Friday night, and typically that crew that I was on, we would drink. We would definitely have some hotel beers. And that night we were drinking whiskey, and I spilled an entire glass of whiskey on my phone at the time, and I was freaked out because I, the only thing that I cared about at that time was being able to call Rachel. And so I turned my phone off and went to bed, woke up. First thing I did was turn my phone on. It powered on. I wrote her number down, and my phone died.
Hmm.
So I had to go home, get a new phone, and then call her.
Yep. It was very much meant to be, and it's one of those things where you really can feel it in your gut. Like, that intuition is so strong, and it just pulls you, and that's really what I felt. Like, I really felt this is the man that I'm supposed to be with, and he is going to be a big – I didn't know it at the time, but I'm realizing it now. He's been a huge teacher and taught me lots of different lessons and really big things that I've been needing. And along with that, he has really provided this, some of the lack, I think, that was there for me, like, growing up. And I'm sure that I've done a few of the same things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we balance each other out really well.
Yeah. So it was very much meant to be. And was that a hummingbird? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we've been finding so many hummingbirds on this trip. It's been so cool. All right. So that's a little backstory on how Isaac and Rachel came to be a couple and how we met.
And it's been bliss. I mean, pure bliss. Pure bliss.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Marriage is always a work in progress. So, Isaac, I would really like to know, what does health and wellness mean to you?
Great question, Rachel.
Yeah.
Fitting. I don't have the same pull to health and wellness as you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I'm way more lax with my health and wellness. I naturally am just perfect, so I don't have to, you know, take as many supplements and work on my abs like you do.
Oh my gosh, you're hilarious.
No, it's health and wellness. You've been a great, we talk about inspiring each other and that balance. You've been, that's probably what you've brought, where you've helped me the most on my journey is health and wellness. Because I'm a Neanderthal. I'm a guy, and I'm still, you know, I'm always about 6 months behind you when it comes to big health changes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, in right now, health and wellness for me means mostly just my mental health right now. Mm-hmm. That's where I have my biggest struggles. So health and wellness for me right now is, my focus has been my mental health, because that's where I've struggled the most. I get caught in my brain. I've battled with depression and anxiety my whole life, but I think in the last probably 2-3 years, I've really had some big leaps and bounds with that. Starting with ayahuasca was probably my tipping point for me.
Definitely, there's been a huge shift. It's been really, really cool to watch, yeah, from like an outsider. And I think that it's probably fair to say that through our marriage, I've really tried to push you and push health on you and physical activity and eating right. And of course, that's with love. Like my biggest thing is I want you to be around for a really long time. I want to really grow old with you, and I want you to be a healthy role model for the boys. And so it's just been really coming from a place of love. And one thing that I've noticed is when my physical health is kind of, you know, at its peak, when I'm feeling really good in my body and I feel strong, I notice that my mental and emotional health really sync up with that. And so me feeling that feels like that would help you. And I think that's a big reason why I push that on you. But you do your own thing. And, yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about Isaac, is he really, it has to be his idea.
Not true. Not true at all.
He's lying.
Yeah. And I noticed too, when you push me, when you push me to be healthier, physically healthier, my mental health always follows along. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So would you say health and wellness for you is really all about discovery? Would that be a good way to put it? Like discovering what works for you, discovering, a path that aligns with more who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like change. Mm-hmm. Like I thoroughly enjoy change and adventure and new things. And so I'm also really I'm great at starting. I'm an excellent starter. I'm a poor finisher or completer,
yeah,
whatever you want to say. So I need to find new ways to challenge myself physically and mentally and with diet and exercise. So it's always changing and fresh and new for me. And that's where I struggle is I'll start something and then I'll be like, yeah, okay, I did that. Now I need to do something else. But there's always too long of a break in between whatever my next thing is.
Yeah. So what would you, if you could pick one thing that would be a goal for our physical health this year, what do you think that would be? It's a tough question. I've been sitting with this too. And I want us to be on the same page this year, just because of where we are, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit. But what would that be? What would that look like for you?
Our physical health. That is a tough question, because it's our. Mm-hmm. And when you say our, do you mean you and I or our whole family?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
I think just staying strong, just finding ways to stay strong and get stronger, so that whatever adventure we find ourselves in this summer and wherever it takes us, we can better handle it. You know, long hikes takes strong legs and better, good rest.
And endurance.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we're, diet-wise, I think we're doing a great job. I think we've already settled into a great diet. So that goes along with the question, right?
Yeah, totally, 100%. Yeah, I like that. I would agree, and I think for me, where we're at right now is just making sure that I continue on with, like, that I shouldn't say I, we continue on with just various workouts, and that can be a number of things. Like, we've been camping for the last week in our camper, Willie, and I've been able to have some videos saved on my phone, so I've done a couple of those workouts, and And today, like, we hiked up to this beautiful spot. I mean, you guys, you should see this space. It is just stunning. Ugh. And yeah, and then eating right. It can be easy when you're camping to snack. And I think I've been purchasing all of the food. And so I've just been really mindful of getting organic fruits and vegetables when I can. Yeah, so I think, you know, keeping those two things, you know, in the forefront and in our awareness, and taking the time to make, you know, healthy foods and frying up vegetables and whatnot, we've done pretty good. We've done good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think continuing that, that's a good idea.
The boys still have their sugar cereal.
And pancakes.
And pancakes.
Yeah.
Protein pancakes now, though.
Boom. All right. So next up, just curious as to when I say to you, live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life, instinctually, what does that make you think of?
My immediate and first answer is be you. Mm-hmm. Like, be who you are. And if you're living a life that you have to try and be somebody else, or you're pretending, and you're not, you're never going to be happy. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to be comfortable with yourself. So I think that for me, it's just be you. Mm-hmm. And you, with all the reading you do and all the exploring you do in that realm, and then sharing it with me, and I always listen. I do always listen. And I may not be responsive to what you're saying to me, but I'm always listening, and I'm hearing it and absorbing it. And it's definitely impacted me to be more true to myself and just not be something that someone else wants to see. Or that's changed. Like, it's definitely changed me at work. Mm. I've grown a lot because of that. Just living, like, just being me.
Yeah. And I've seen you flourish in, like, I can tell when you're being authentic, and I can tell when you're being real, and I can tell then the positive impact that follows in your career or with various challenging situations. You know, it's easy to drop back into some of these old habits, you know, that maybe don't necessarily serve us, because they're habits that have been created based on that, those coping mechanisms from childhood, or maybe past traumas, or you know, things like that. And not that our childhoods were super traumatic. I mean, we came out pretty, like, everyone has their shit, you know?
Yeah, I think we both have, like, everybody has something, but we both grew up with loving parents. I mean, ultimately, that's what really mattered.
Right, yeah, you know, and there were other, you know, there's things that come from that. You know, there's no parent is perfect. They always do we have a very wise man in our life, and he always tells us that parents do the best they can with what they have. And I'm seeing that so true more and more, and I'm actually seeing my parenting change as I am learning new things and just being so patient with the boys and teaching them and being an example for them, as opposed to telling them, like, do what I say instead of do what I do. Right?
Yeah.
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 It feels like you're really starting to come back to this. It feels like you're really starting to, I think both of us actually are probably starting to come back to who we are, or finding or discovering who our true self is and where we're meant to be in the world. And our purpose,
yeah,
on this planet, in this lifetime. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. I think, especially with the career choice or the career change that I made in the last year and a half, where I was able to really be me, mm-hmm, and really use my skills compared to, I mean, I was successful where I was, and it was, worked for a great company, great leadership. I mean, one of the best, you know, managers or bosses I've ever worked for. Mm. I mean, you know, talk about leading by example. He was amazing. And, you know, I gave that up to spark off on this new adventure. And
it was a leap.
It was a huge leap.
It was a huge risk.
It was a huge financial risk for us. Huge financial risk.
Huge.
And it worked out. But part of that for me was being able to just be me. Mm-hmm. Like, fully, truly be be who I'm supposed to be right now.
And that's exactly what the Live Your Raw Life podcast is all about. And I feel like it's really significantly tied to how you feel in your body, which equals how you feel in your mind, which then allows you to present your true self to the world. And that's the foundation of this platform and of this podcast. And it's really fun to watch when you can see someone transition from who they think they should be and who they really are. I know I can look back and see that about myself. I've definitely played many roles depending on who I was around, in thinking like, this is who I need to be for that person. And now I'm realizing all along, I just needed to be me. And if me doesn't resonate with that person, that's okay. And we don't have to connect. We don't have to jive. We don't have to be in the same space. That's okay. But I'm still going to be me.
There's a book I read called Nonviolent Communication. I can't remember the author. You'll have to put that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. There's a line in there that, and it's, everybody should read this book. It's just really powerful and impactful. But there's a line in there that says something, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's not your job to, I'm not responsible for your happiness, and you're not responsible for my happiness. And when you're in that, when you're stuck in that, I don't know what you call it, but living that lifestyle or living that way where, oh, I need to make you happy, or I need to make this person happy. It's my job to, you lose who you are at that point. You're no longer, you're not being authentic, because you're trying to do whatever you can or change to make the other person happy. And that's not your job. It's your job to make you happy. And then if you're happy, it's easier to be, you're easier to be around. And then other people can watch you and be like, why is that person so damn happy?
Well, and when you put out those positive vibes, vibes are real. It's a real thing. People can pick up on your energetic space. And, you know, you hear that term kind of thrown around like, they got a really good vibe, or, ooh, I got a bad vibe from that. And that's so true. So when you are being real and you're being true, that vibe shines, and you vibrate and you radiate at that level. And those that are radiating and vibrating at that level too, which is typically positivity and happiness and joy and all those feel good adjectives, that is when, you know, you're really going to see yourself sync up and level up, which is something that we talked about with Jason last week, or 2 weeks ago in episode 9. And so that is a great segue, Isaac, into how are you feeling about life right now? Maybe we should give our listeners just a little bit of a glimpse of where we're at. Do you want to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
So the company I work for has gone through some really big changes, and it's allowed me to be way more involved than I ever was. Part of that was, and I'm sure you heard this in some of the other podcasts, was me being gone. So from the inception of this podcast, really, we've been apart. Mm-hmm. So I've been at our headquarters in Rifle, Colorado. We shrunk our staff by, I don't know, 60-70%. And it was kind of an all hands on deck. And we all have chipped in and worked really, really, really hard to kind of rebuild this place from the ground up. And with pretty good success. I mean, there's been lots of challenges and stress, but we're doing great. So since you're a teacher and you have the summer off from work, and we have the boys who are both in school, we decided that it would be a great time. It worked with my job. I still need to be near our headquarters as often as I can, but I also need to travel around the western slope and work on building up the sales territory as well, back to where it was. So at one point, this part of the state was one of our biggest customers. So we have the camper. We have Willie. Or we've named the camper Willie.
Yes.
So we, amazingly, it all worked out. We bought this stinking camper. We got a smoking deal on this camper. We drove to Michigan City, Indiana, and bought it.
Maybe we should back up, because it was very serendipitous on how we got the camper. Like, we, so just to back up a little bit, we met Jason and his wife. Jason Benade was in episode 9. Amazing story. If you haven't tuned into that episode yet, I highly recommend it. Lots of information. He's super knowledgeable. But when we ran into him and his wife in Mexico, and they were talking about how they lived in this big house in California, and then they sold everything, and now they and their two boys are living in this RV. They were living in Mexico for 2 years, and now they're back up. They're back up in the States in Texas.
It was so inspiring for both of us.
Oh.
That set our life on a path to where we are right now.
Yes, it was just like all of the yeses. Yes. I want to live like I've always wanted to live this life like a nomad. I've always wanted to live life on the road. I had an opportunity once when I was 18, but it didn't work out, and it would have been extremely short term. And I've just been craving that. And then when I watched Road Rules at a very young age, I think I was like 14 or 15 when that I was really into that. And then the show ended by the time I was old enough to go on. And just to see the country, I love nature. I love beauty. I love being immersed in it. I love camping. I love hiking. Like all of those things. That's who I am. And so I've just really wanted to integrate myself deep into that. And then we met them and they were doing it. And it was like, holy shit. Like they're adults and they have kids and they have life going on. You know, they still have to create a way of income and they have to, you know, do all of the things that you normally have to do if you have a big house, but they're doing it in an RV. And so it simplifies their life. It downscales things. And that's really what was a huge inspiration.
Yeah. So to level up, we downsized.
Yeah.
Rachel got into the Maria. I think she talked about that with Jason too. The mm-hmm. Maria condo or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And we tidying up. We downsized all of our stuff. And then it went from downsizing all of our stuff to downsizing our home. We sold our big, beautiful house and moved into a half the size apartment, which we did because you don't have to do anything. You just leave. You just shut the door.
Yeah.
And then so we ended up buying this camp. I've wanted a camper for a long time. Rachel was a purist when it comes to camping. So we ended up finding this camper, a smoking deal on this camper, which we went and picked up. And then I ended up living in it for 2 months by myself out in Rifle, Colorado. And now you guys are with me.
Yeah.
And so now we get to spend as much time as we possibly can together in the camper all over the state of Colorado with work, kind of a work play adventure. We can adventure on the weekends, and then I work during the week. I'm gonna drive around and go see all my customers, and then I'm coming back to you guys at night.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do that. The beauty of this is it works so wonderfully because we're all together finally, and we're all together in our camper.
Yeah,
wherever the hell we want to be.
Yeah. And we've been floating between various campgrounds because our camper has the capability of hooking up to electric and water and dumping, you know, our gray water and black water and stuff. And so we've been floating between campgrounds that have that access and then other, some BLM land, so Bureau of Land Management, which is public land. So you can camp anywhere as long as you are 100 feet off of any road. And we did that for a little bit outside of Rifle. We were there, in this spot for 3 days, and it was really cool. And there was this moment where we were starting to, like, get the camper dialed in. I need organization. It's how I operate. I like to have a clean working space. I feel I know where everything is when the kids need something or I need something or Isaac needs something. You know, I can tell them, okay, it's in the cabinet on the left, whatever. And it's such a small space that I really felt like, okay, we got to dial this in. So we were just kind of cleaning and organizing and what have you. And there was this moment where I stepped out of the camper and the sun was shining on me. And there was this little breeze that was like blowing my hair across my face. And it kind of was blinding, but it just felt like, yes, this is exactly where I need to be. And that was such a good feeling. I'm part Native American, and I've always been drawn to their culture. And so to have my feet on the earth and the sun on my face really allowed me to sink into being me. And I feel really good about where we are. And we've found, I think, so far, you know, as we kind of work out the kinks, we're finding a good mix for the boys. You know, they went from inundated with technology because of online school, and then that's how they connect with their friends.
They were stuck at home during the quarantine. They were stuck.
With just me, and I was working, so it was really a challenge. Like, you know, I get done working at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon or at night, and then, Mom, we want to play a game. Mom, want to go for a bike ride. And it's like, oh my gosh, I wanted a break. And then I didn't get a break, and I was making dinner and doing the dishes and doing the laundry and all of these things. But, you know, so we've had to kind of find this balance for them to slowly transition them into being immersed in nature, but also allowing them to still stay connected to their friends, because that's one thing that they're definitely missing, I think.
Yeah, the biggest challenge, I think, is trying to figure out, is nature the reward or is technology the reward? And switching that mindset for them where, oh, sweet, we get to go outside and explore. We get to go look at old mining camps and all that stuff. And that's hard because they're boys. They're a teenager and a preteen boy, and they're, you know, TikToking and Fortniting.
Hey, Dad, have you seen this video?
It's, you know, that's their life. That's what they do. And you can't just take it away from them.
Right.
So, but it gets taken away when we end up in spots without service. So then they learn how to be resourceful and go outside and throw rocks at shit.
Yeah. And they really are good at that. They can really work together and use their imagination, and they create forts and they build things across rivers and, you know, dams with rocks, and they love to get dirty. And then there's also times where they're like, they like to just chill and lay back and rest and just, you know, kind of be mindless, but also be, you know, who they are at this moment. And so we've been floating between those two. And so follow along the journey on Instagram for sure, obviously on the Live Your Raw Life platform, but also at Isaac Outside on Instagram. His camera and Zeke's camera takes beautiful pictures. So
it's the photographer.
There is truth to that. Yes. So that's where we are in life right now. And so finding this balance of maintaining our health and wellness, which I feel like being in nature, because you can drop in, you can drop your shoulders, you can relax, you can sink into the universe and the earth and let it hold you and support you. It allows us to naturally find our health and wellness and get it on point, or keep it on point, maybe is a better way to say that. You know, when we're at home in our apartment, we have the luxury of, oh, I'm just going to run to the store and get some ice cream, or, you know, like, and then you can sit and watch a movie because you have infinite Wi-Fi and you can take a bath or, you know, whatever. And out here, we don't have that luxury. We have a different luxury. We have a luxury of, like, the beautiful energy that is surrounding us. And I think that I feel really good about where we are. And I'm really excited about where things are going. And for us, there's a lot happening in the world right now that I feel a little disconnected from, unfortunately. Maybe fortunately. I'm not sure. It's sad, it's hard, it's heartbreaking, it's frustrating with the things that, you know, we're being from Minnesota, the things that are happening in Minneapolis right now is definitely not something to ignore. I don't know what at this point, I feel like I feel stuck. What can I do to help? Like, what can I do to make a difference? And I think that having this Live Your Raw Life platform to allow people to really become more open-minded, open-hearted, dialing in with who they are, what's important to them, maybe is a way that I can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird times right now.
Yeah, and then like with COVID still happening, I mean, it's not over. We just we had a little tele happy hour with our friends in Pennsylvania last night. And they were talking about how they're like still in super restrictive lockdown. But yesterday we went up to Creed, Colorado, and there were stores where, like, there was no sign that said you had to wear a mask. You know, all the workers are wearing a mask. I think there's probably business rules that are behind that.
Not all of them.
No, you're right. Not all of them. You're right about that. And, but then there were other stores that were like, you do what you feel comfortable with. We're going to do what we feel comfortable with. Come on in. And, but I forgot yesterday that COVID was a thing. I did for a number of places that we went in.
Yeah, and I think we probably should be more careful.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because we do travel. Like, we bounced from Rifle to Palisade to Grand Junction, and now we're down here in South Fork. And so if we are asymptomatic, you know, we really want to be aware of that for others and be respectful that we don't want anyone, you know, we don't want to be responsible for somebody's ill will.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's where we're at. And I think that the following weeks were, I'm going to on this podcast, just start to keep you guys along with the journey of our summer. And then, you know, we'll weave in and tie in like health and that physical health and sleep, which Willie offers really great sleep. So being tent campers for a very long time, there were many nights where I did not get rest at all. And especially the older that we got. And then we had some beautiful friends in Salt Lake City gift us a pop-up. And the only stipulation behind getting that pop-up as a gift was we had to re-gift it. And when we just found Willie on this website and won him.
It was an auction, you're right.
Yep, it was an auction. We were like, okay, we need to gift the pop-up. We called her Vicky. So who do we gift Vicky to? And we have these amazing friends. I can't think of anyone more deserving than the friends that we gave.
We should do one of your happy hour podcasts with them.
Yes, we have some happy hour podcasts coming up, and I think that we should get them on with us for sure. So, and Willie or Vicky, I slept pretty good in. I mean, coming up from a tent, that Vicky was definitely an upgrade. Willie is another little step up. He's great. He provides really good rest. And because we can hook up to fresh water, you know, we have water that we can, clean water we can drink and use to like wash dishes and whatnot. So that's really, really cool. So I think what we're going to do here for the next, you know, few weeks, summer, et cetera, is just take you all along on our journey and see how health and wellness fits into this kind of lifestyle. You know, we've been wanting this, and so now we get to test drive it.
Yeah, maybe you can, maybe at the end you can post all the good one-pot meals we figured out
how to cook. Ooh, that's a good idea. We have been making some good one-pot meals, yeah. All right, so the last thing that I want to ask you, this is going to be great, Isaac. I'm really anxious to hear, and I'll share too if you feel the need to know.
Okay.
But what is one thing that I give my time to that you think would be better spent somewhere else?
Nothing. You're so perfect. That's a great question. And you're so fucking organized, and you spend so much time organizing things that I think that sometimes you find ways to then reorganize things. So maybe you just, you know, if you find yourself with idle hands or idle minds, you reorganize a junk drawer or reorganize the pantry. Like, oh my God, this pantry is such a disaster. And then you will spend 4 hours reorganizing it. Which maybe that time could be used elsewhere. Maybe. Maybe not, because then it gets wonderfully organized, only to get thrown into disarray in 2 days with three boys.
So true. I do have a friend who is amazed at how organized my junk drawer is.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
We have cubbies and little holders, and I know where everything is in the junk drawer. And I remember growing up, my mom had a junk drawer, and it was like, you had to open it very carefully. It's kind of like a Jack in the Box where like you'd open it and shit would just like pop out.
Yeah, my dad's still the same way.
Yeah.
you never know what you're going to find when you go in the junk drawer. You might find it's batteries. You might find a gun. You might find bullets. You might find a joint that's half smoked. It's just hilarious.
So true. Do you want to know what?
I want to know what you think I should be doing with my time instead of whatever I'm doing.
So it's funny because I look at this now. It used to annoy the shit out of me. I would be like, seriously? Isaac is a researcher. And so Isaac will sit for hours with his phone or an iPad or a computer or whatever. And he will just research the shit out of who knows what. Like I think it takes you on a journey in and of itself. Like you'll start like, okay, I'm going to figure out where we're going to camp. And then, ooh, that looks like a good hunting spot. And then you get segued and then you're like, oh, speaking of hunting, I need to look for this piece of equipment that I'm missing or whatever. But he researches the shit out of things. And so when I see him sitting on the couch, because I am not one to sit, I am one to get up and get things done. I love to be moving. It's just who I am. But he could sit for a long time and he, you know, gains so much knowledge from the research that he does that in the past I used to think, God, why does he just do that? Why does he just sit so much? And it would drive me crazy. But now I'm reaping the benefits of all of your research. I mean, he has researched, you know, how to run the camper. And he has researched, like right now you're researching like...
Well, finding the camper. I did the time, when I was turning you to the dark side of maybe a different camper, I was with a family of four and the vehicle we have to pull it with. Well, now I'm researching trucks.
Trucks, yeah.
But the 4Runner we have now works great. To pull it, there's just some safety things that I get a little nervous about. But just this camper right now, I figured out through research and what was out, because I'd never really looked at campers. Well, then you have to go, all right, we're a family of four with a dog, but we can't have a giant trailer. This thing's like 20 feet long or something. I needed to know exactly what to look for. And then we figured out what kind of camper we were going to look for. And then lo and behold, that one showed up on that auction website.
Instantly, like the same day, we went for this hike. It was like 76 degrees in February here in Colorado. And it was just Isaac and I and the dog. And we went and hiked. And we were talking about, okay, if we're going to change the camper, what does that look like? And what are non-negotiables? And one non-negotiable for me was I just need a place where like I could take a leak in the middle of the night. Like I don't care if it's a bucket. I need somewhere where I don't have to get out of the camper to go to the bathroom. And because I know that Isaac likes to be outside of a campground, like BLM land. And I love that too. The only thing is at night, you know, there's critters and I just don't want to find myself in a predicament where I could get myself in trouble. So I wanted to be able to go to the bathroom somewhere at night. And Isaac was storage underneath outside. And we went home and he found this camper. I mean, it was like so perfect. That was on a Sunday. He found it Sunday night. We're like, okay, let's sleep on it. What are we missing? What doesn't it have? We woke up the next day. We're like, I can't think of anything that it doesn't have in which we need. That auction ended on that Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday, like morning, Isaac put a bid in and we instantly got outbid. And we had already talked about like, what was our max bid that we were willing to pay for this camper? And that's what, you know, it ended up being. It was exactly what our max was.
It was like $5 more, maybe.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It wasn't that much. It was crazy. And he texted me at 12:05 p.m. on that Wednesday. And he's like, we got it. We won. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be so great. It's like the universe and the stars have all aligned. And that's one thing that I think it's really important to remember is the universe has your back. When you start manifesting and you start sending those intentions out, the universe will provide if it's the right path for you. And it's become extremely clear that you and I are on the right path. Would you agree with that?
Fully.
Yeah. So.
So you're saying my gripe, your gripe, or where I could better use my time is not researching things? It used to be.
Yeah. So to bring that back full circle, it used to be like I would get so annoyed that you would sit and research things and just like sit there and we weren't talking because you were ingrained in this tech world, research world. But I've been able to reap the benefits of it. And so now I see it. And not just because I reap the benefits, but because I see your platform for gaining knowledge is different than mine. And that's why we work, you know, and we gain knowledge on different things that we both need eventually. And I think that that is a really nice way to again, come back to the beginning of balance each other out. Yeah. Like we do a really good job of that.
Absolutely.
So with that, that is where we are. That is, you know, a little bit about what we've got going on. And so it has been hard to like stay connected to the platform and the community that we're creating here because we don't always have Wi-Fi. So I definitely am doing what I can. But it's really allowed me to open my eyes also to like the vastness that is our world, and especially being away from a city where, you know, you kind of feel that pressure to be one thing or another. And now I can actually just, I can be me. And I think, Isaac, you really get to be you. And the kids can start to discover who they really are. And I think that's a really great thing that's coming from this. So I want to thank you, Isaac, for taking the time and having the idea to climb up to this beautiful rock for our podcast.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you being on the show and sharing with our listeners a little bit about you and a little bit about us. I would like to thank you all for tuning into this week's podcast. Thank you for your time, energy, and presence. I am grateful for you and your motivation to improve your quality of life. Heal yourself. Heal the world. It's always an adventure. Adventure awaits. If something in this episode resonated with you, please subscribe to the Live Your Raw Life podcast so you can be alerted when new episodes drop. And please leave a review while you are there. I will be back with you next week, Thursday. And we might have a little special edition episode coming your way before then. Sending light, love, and positive energy your way. We will see you next week.